Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And ascended on high. Our reading today is from Ephesians, the first chapter, these verses, St. Paul's prayer, that you may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is our text. In times like these, people wonder. They wonder who's in charge, what's the Lord doing, and where can we find him? And when I say people wonder, we really ought to be honest that it's not just people, but we too wonder these things. Looking around, we're also tempted to answer the questions by saying that there's no one in charge and that the Lord is doing nothing and that he can't be found anywhere. Don't believe it. Don't believe what you may feel or what you may think by looking around at the world today. There's a great deal more going on than what we can see with our eyes, as the ascension of our Lord reveals. And I'd like to think about the ascension from two perspectives. There's the on-the-ground perspective and the from-above perspective. St. Luke, both in the reading from Acts and in his gospel, he gives us the perspective of what the ascension is like from the ground. You could say that he puts us in the shoes of the disciples, and he gives us their perspective. You know which one I'm talking about, the looking up perspective, mouths agape, wondering where Jesus has gone. As the disciples watched, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. He enters a cloud, not just a regular cloud, but the cloud of God's divine glory, the cloud that had settled over the tabernacle and over the temple in the Old Testament, indicating that God was there. That's the cloud which Jesus enters. And there he takes on a cloak of invisibility. Jesus parted them from them, Luke writes, and was carried up into heaven. And you might expect that being parted would leave the disciples depressed or despairing or discouraged. But it doesn't. The disciples are filled with joy after Jesus' ascension, and they worshiped him. So this is the view from where we stand on earth of Jesus' ascension. Jesus, our brother, is taken up into glory, hidden from our sight, while the church on earth rejoices and worships him. St. Paul adds another perspective. He gives us the view of the ascension from above. It's as if he puts us right inside that cloud, right next to the angels and the archangels. He gives us a peek of the unseen throne. At the ascension, St. Paul writes, God seated Jesus, our brother, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Did you hear what was said? Especially the prepositions. At the ascension, Jesus is seated above all, but not in a way that makes your worries and your concerns beneath him. His power is over all, but not in the manner of a tyrant. All things, it says, are under his feet, sin, death, and the devil crushed, and yet a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. And thanks be to God for that. Amen. Ascended on high, Jesus isn't disconnected. He isn't separated from our world or from us. No, he's joined more closely than your head is to your body, because he is the head and the church is his body. And guess what? With this view from above, same thing is happening above that was happening below. Above in heaven, angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven rejoice at Christ's ascension, and they worship him too. Heaven and earth are united in praise of Jesus. The joy is almost palpable. A hymn of glory, let us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. It goes on and on and on. And if you can't hear it yet, oh, you will. The day is coming. We confess that Jesus ascended into heaven. But just what do we mean by this? We don't just mean that he ascended into the paradise of those who are redeemed. He did that, of course, but far more. Have no doubt that as a human being, Jesus opened the way into paradise for you, just as he did for the thief on the cross. Because of him, wide open stand the gates adorned with pearl. But there's more. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he not only threw the gates wide open, but he kept on going, and he went all the way to the throne. As a man, he ascended to the right hand of God, to the heaven of God's majesty and glory and power. So when we think of Jesus ascending into heaven, it's a little bit different than how we think of it when one of our brothers or sisters in Christ dies. Jesus isn't in heaven just in the same way as our dear brother John Meyer, who went there on Thursday, or as our loved ones who have died in the faith. They are in heaven as citizens. But Jesus ascended into heaven as the ruling monarch, as the King of kings and Lord of lords, King not only of heaven, but above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name of all times and all places and over all things. The fancy name the church has used for this is that we describe Jesus as the Pentocrator, the all-powerful and almighty, even all-powerful and almighty, over the coronavirus and the world economies and the quarantine and stay at home. Another pastor put it like this: when we confess in the creed that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, we confess that the human nature which he assumed in the womb of the Blessed Virgin and in which he offered to God a sufficient ransom to release all people from the debt to sin and the power of death, that this human nature has now been exalted and raised above every height imaginable, given the exercise of all power in heaven and on earth. The one who bears in his hands the scars of the nails now rules over all. And then he goes on. So when I complain about the way things go in my life, when I gripe about the troubles of the world or of the church, I'm actually complaining about the way the crucified and risen one sees fit to govern, aren't I? It puts a different perspective on life, doesn't it? That my complaining and my grumbling and my griping isn't just about against the authorities of this age, but indeed is griping and grumbling against the one who is above all things. Me, putting my puny wisdom and my puny ideas against the omnipotence and the wisdom and the love of Christ. When Scripture proclaims that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, don't think of it as a seat of rest, but as a seat of honor. Not a lazy boy, but a throne. The king's seat, that's where Jesus is. He is enthroned not only as God, he always had all power and authority as God, but now also as true man. Which means that one like us is on the seat of power, our own flesh and blood. You can think about what happens maybe in a small town like Westminster when someone makes it big, makes it in the MLB or the NFL or something like that, or rises the ranks in political power. He's one of us. That's what we say when Jesus ascends to heaven. He's one of us, our own flesh and blood. And when we say that he sits down, it's not as if he sits down to be inactive or to be passive. No, at his ascension, he entered into a new and greater way of caring for his people. He is actually, right now, and actively, right now, ruling over all things for your good, even when we can't see it, and even when we don't understand it. This is an article of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight in this. But there's even more than that to the right hand of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ not only rules over all things for the well-being of the church, he also constantly intercedes for us before the Father. He is praying for us. He is bringing our needs before the Father. In Hebrews, it says it this way. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That is, he prays for you. And when you sin, he says to the Father, Father, forgive. Look not upon their sins, but look upon my scars that testify that I have answered for all their sin. He is our mediator, the one who stands in the breach between us and God. And he didn't stop that work when he came down from the cross or when he rose from the dead, but he continues to be your mediator with the Father by his unceasing prayers for you, by which he saves you to the uttermost. And then there's even more. Not only is he ascended to heaven to intercede for us, but his ascending to heaven doesn't put him far away. He is not removed from us, but he is brought even closer. Oh yes, he's removed from us in a way that we cannot see him, but he is not gone. Remember his promise, which still stands. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And indeed, we confess in the church that Jesus is not far away, but he is present wherever his word and his sacraments are. He is present this day, indeed, right here, through the word proclaimed and through his own body and blood by which he will feed and nourish you. Jesus is not gone. He is not absent, but he is as close as these words and sacraments, ruling over you for your good, forgiving your sin, granting you life and salvation, so that he has raised us up together and made us sit together with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The ascension does not take him far away, but brings him near and joins you to him. This is how great the treasures are of our Lord's ascension today, that he is ruling over every circumstance so that peace displaces our complaining, that he is constantly interceding for us so that joy drives out our anxieties, and that he is constantly with us in his word and his sacraments so that we are never alone, but we are always with him who sits at the right hand of God. Jesus, our mediator, Jesus, your King, Jesus, your risen, ascended, glorified Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever, and on to the ages of ages. Amen.